Hello, everyone. This is Paul Boyer. Welcome to Mad Men Machine Show 175 for the very last day of February 2010, or 2010, as we're supposed to call it, I do believe. Coming up on this episode of the Mad Men Machine, we will talk about a variety of things, including what I believe now to be the perfect portfolio, at least for me. And I'll try to tell you why I think it's the perfect portfolio. I'll also talk about my new earphones for my iPhone. All coming up on episode 175 of the Mad Money Machine. Since I've seen you, I guess January was when I last did a show. Been having a lot of fun in the month of February, shoveling lots and lots of snow. The first week in February, we decided to try to get a break from all this nastiness. We went down to Florida, Orlando, Florida. The objective was to spend a week at Disney World. We got the 7-day pass and stayed off-site at a cheapy hotel, rented the cheapest car, and wanted to see all the sights. I remember 8 years ago when I went to Epcot in the middle of summer. I wanted to ride that GM test track ride, and they got up to it, and the sign out front said, "From this point, 2-hour wait." Well, I wasn't going to wait 2 hours to ride this 90-second ride, and gave up on it. Well, this year when we went at the first week of February, I wanted to ride the test track because we didn't get to ride it last time. Went over to that ride first, and its sign said, "From this point, 5-minute wait." It wasn't even that. I mean, it took 5 minutes maybe to go through all the gates and things inside the building. But we walked right up on the ride, rode the ride, got off the ride, went back around, got back on the ride, rode around, got back off the ride, got back on the ride. Rode it 3 times in probably a half an hour. And then went over to Mission to Mars and rode that 3 times and went over to all the various sites and rode everything. Saw just about everything there was to see in 1 day at Epcot. And then we went to the Magic Kingdom, we went to Disney Hollywood Studios, we went to Animal Kingdom, and then we checked the weather on Thursday morning, and it said 20 inches of snow expected back home in Northern Virginia. And we decided to change our flight and come on back home to be here to help shovel out the neighborhood, I guess, basically. And I think we made the right decision. We got ahead of the crowd getting out of Florida back home. We were able to, you know, the snow had not started yet by the time we got back home Thursday afternoon, evening time frame. But Friday and Saturday, boy, oh boy, did we get walloped with snow. I think in total, something like 3 feet of snow. One of the tall pine trees next to my house fell over with the weight of the snow on it, so we did lots and lots and lots of shoveling, and as I look out my window, I still see piles of snow beside the road. I'm starting to see some speckles of grass here and there, but there's certainly no golf going on, and there hasn't been a whole lot of golf going on since mid-December, actually, so it's a bad time or the golf course revenues in our area, that is for sure. Also, in the meantime, my iPhone, the volume control came off. Now, it came off once before. The little, on the side of the iPhone, you hit the up and down volume thing. That metal piece broke off. And once before I found it, I was able to glue it back on with super glue. But now it's off and gone, and I can't find it. So, also, when I took it to the beach last year, somehow I dropped it in the sand, and that home button doesn't click anymore. It didn't click anymore, and it just really sticky. I had to press it really hard to make it go home. The double-click feature, I couldn't get that to work anymore. Long story short, I went ahead and bought the new iPhone 3GS this week. Got an upgrade from AT&T. Got a refurbished one for only $150. Had to sign a 2-year contract with AT&T, of course. But, oh, I'm loving the new iPhone 3GS. It is much faster than my old iPhone 3G. Typing has no latency. Browsing the web, things pop up instantly. And I'm loving it. And also my Edemotix earphones that I talked at great length about last show, they actually bit the dust. The left ear volume is no good anymore. And so I decided, you know, I really cannot afford $120, $140 for a new set of earphones. I'm going to get on eBay and look and see if anybody has yet developed a cheapy version of earphones for the iPhone with the microphone, with the little click button on the ear cord. And sure enough, I found two sources that sell earphones now, the in-the-ear earphones that I'm using right now for the iPhone. And I got two of them. $7 each, including shipping. So, and they don't have quite the bass response as the Edemotix or some others. Actually, the Edemotix don't have that great of a bass response compared to Radius. But you just turn up the bass in your iPhone EQ boost, and they're just fine. Thank you very much. All right, well, let's get on with the investing talk. I have been in search, as you may or may not know, of the perfect portfolio, and I think I have finally found one that I want to live with, and I'm going to be talking about that a little bit more right after we take a spin at the Guru Roulette Wheel. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, I'll give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Men Machine Show 175 is Jacob Fugger. Jacob Fugger. I suppose that would be German pronunciation. Sometimes known as Jacob Fugger the Rich. Was a German banker and a member, of course, of the Fugger family. According to an article published a long time ago in the Wall Street Journal, Jacob Fugger II was born in 1459, died in 1525. He was a banker. He was a money. His source of wealth was money management. His assets were in mines and silk fabrics. And his claim to fame was that he was nicknamed Fugger the Rich. Let's see what he said. The king reigns, but the bank rules, declared Jacob Fugger II of Augsburg, Germany. He was known as Fugger the Rich, and minted his own money and maintained banks in every European capital. Fugger and his family also owned silver, gold, and copper mines, traded spices and wool, and operated silk factories in Asia. He held the contract for managing the Pope's money and collecting cash for the remission of sins, and he bankrolled Charles V's election as the Holy Roman Emperor, which involved bribes of sums 3 times the annual revenue of Florence. Fugger, like other powerful figures at the time, commissioned bronze portrait medals of himself, coins with his own picture on them, and handed them out to his friends. Fugger was said to have hired a personal fortune teller to predict the outcomes of his business deals. He died leaving 2 million guilders, or more than 7 tons. Of gold. Now, Jacob Fugger, according to Wikipedia, has this quote. He says, "Divide your fortune into 4 equal parts: stocks, real estate, bonds, and gold. Be prepared to lose on one of them most of the time. During inflation, you will lose on bonds and win on gold and real estate. During deflation, you lose on real estate and win on bonds, while your stocks will see you through both periods, though in a mixed fashion. Whenever performance differences cause a major imbalance, rebalance your fortunes back to the four equal parts. Wise words indeed from our guru on Show Madman Machine Show 175, Jacob Fugger. Well, that does lead me back to my search for the perfect portfolio. Now, as you know, I've been following lazy portfolios at madmanmachine.com/portfolios page. I've been, you know, following the IFA portfolios, portfolios from Bill Bernstein, Ted Aronson, Bill Schultes, David Swinson, the Fund Advice portfolio, Scott Burns' Couch Potato portfolio, and of course, the Harry Brown Permanent portfolio. Now, Harry Brown Permanent portfolio sounds awfully familiar when you compare it to Jacob Fugger. Harry Brown Permanent portfolio suggests 25% in stocks, 25% in bonds, 25% in gold, 25% in cash. So, Harry Brown's portfolio differs from Jacob Fugger in that Fugger recommends 25% in real estate, whereas Harry Brown recommends 25% in cash. Well, I've been listening to an awful lot of Harry Brown. I did finish listening to all 44 of Harry Brown's investment radio shows that he did between 2004 and 2005. And it turns out the link to those is no longer, doesn't seem to be functioning as of today at his website. So I'm awfully sorry about that. Wish there was something I could do to help get those radio files to you. But I've also read his, on eBay, I bought a copy of his course, his 8-week-long course, which really doesn't have anything to do with investing, called Rule Your World, on 20 CDs. Ripped that to the old iPhone and listened to that over the course of a couple of weeks or so. Very interesting course he did back in 1967. He recorded it on reel-to-reel tapes. He didn't do another version of the course. He did write a book a little bit later called How I Found Freedom in an Unfree World. It was kind of based upon that course. And then after he died in 2006, March 1st, 2006, so his fourth anniversary of passing is tomorrow, his wife discovered these reel-to-reel tapes and had them recorded onto CDs and now makes them available through the website harrybrown.org. Brown has an E on the end of it. Well, all right, so I listened to the radio show, listened to his audio course, and have also started listening to some of his other radio shows and reading his other investing books. For example, the one book that he talks about on his radio show, the Money Talk radio show, is called Fail Safe Investing. And it is a fairly short book. He says, lifelong financial security in 30 minutes. And you can read it in 30 minutes. It actually has just, he describes 17 rules for investing. And those take only about 70 pages in small pages. And then at the last part of the book, he goes in more depth on each of those 17 rules. For example, the rules are build your wealth upon your career. That's the first rule. Number two, don't assume you can replace your wealth. So, you know, first rule is don't lose it. Third rule, recognize the difference between investing and speculating. Beware of fortune tellers. Don't expect anyone to make you rich. Don't expect a trading system to make you rich. Invest only on a cash basis. All right. Make your own decisions. Do only what you understand. Spread the risk. And rule number 11, build a bulletproof portfolio for your protection. And you can see the rest in his book there. So the bulletproof portfolio, which he calls the permanent portfolio, is something he came upon in 1981 with his book, Inflation Proofing Your Investments, that he co-wrote with Terry Coxon. Terry Coxon, who helped originate the Permanent Portfolio Mutual Fund. So just a little background on Harry Brown's investing background. In the early 70s, he first wrote a book, You Can Profit from the Coming Devaluation. And he foresaw that the government would release its price controls on gold. They had been, you know, controlling the exchange rate, basically the price of gold, up until 1971, of course, when Nixon closed the gold window, and then gold could freely trade. Well, from that point onward, gold did rise in value as compared to the dollar. And I think it's something that Harry Brown foresaw and wrote about in his book, How You Can Profit from the Coming Devaluation. He basically recommended buying gold and silver. And that worked for him all through the 70s. And he wrote several other investment books. And then in 1980-81 time frame, when gold went up to about $800 or something, and silver went up to $50, he actually called it correctly and said, folks, that's about enough at this point. Let's all get out. Let's sell our gold. Let's sell our silver. And gold came back down to about $300. Silver came down to about $5. And he was right again. And when asked about it much later in his life, said, Harry, how did you see this? How did you predict this gold going up and then going back down? How did you do that? He said, well, let me tell you exactly how I did it. I was lucky. He's very humble when he talks about his investing performance. He actually appeared on Wall Street Week with Louis Rukeyser. And Louis Rukeyser asked him that question. That was his answer. He said, I was lucky. And that's why in 1981 or thereabouts, he changed his mind from being sort of a speculator, writing an investment newsletter, trying to predict stocks, into this stable portfolio, this permanent portfolio. And at that time, they didn't really have available as many index funds as we have today. They certainly didn't have exchange-traded funds like we have today that invest in indexes. But he picked out a few mutual funds, some of them kind of aggressive growth stocks. And the gold ETF, for example, wasn't available back then. And so his recommendation was buy one of these stock mutual funds, buy a series of 30-year treasury bonds, put your money in a money market fund, the other cash portfolio portion, and then buy gold coins for the gold coin portion. Well, on one of his radio shows then, someone brought up to him that there was an exchange-traded fund that came out for 30-year, or for long bonds, long U.S. bonds, and there was ticker symbol TLT. And Harry said, well, I'll look into that. And on the next show then, he talked a little bit about TLT, the iShares Lehman Brothers 20-plus year bond fund, I guess it was. He said, it actually is something that I've been looking for a long time, is a index fund that invests purely in long-term treasury bonds. And he says, I think why if you can't buy 30-year bonds on your own, go out and actually buy the 30-year bonds, then this is the next best thing. TLT is the ticker symbol on that. Someone also asked him about gold, the GLD fund, ticker symbol GLD, and using that instead of buying physical gold. He actually wasn't too keen on the idea. He thought that owning the physical gold is a better way of doing it because that eliminates any third-party risk. I mean, you have the gold in your hands as opposed to having a paper that says you have the gold somewhere. And I know that Craig out at Crawling Road kind of softens that recommendation these days and says it's okay to own some GLD. And for the stocks, one of the things that I've looked at is the philosophy behind this permanent portfolio is that you want to invest in one of each of four categories of investments that do well during do extremely well during a certain economic cycle. So during deflation, the bond that would do the best, that has the most leverage during deflation, is the longest bond you can get. The one with the, you know, the longest time span when interest rates are declining, that one will have the best principal increase in the actual value. If you were to try to sell the bond, it will have the biggest increase because it has the longest time span. It has a greater margin. Similarly, for the inflation portion of the economic cycle, the one that has the best leverage there, that's most tied to inflation, is gold. Has the highest correlation to inflation, gives you the biggest leverage. So I thought, well, what would be the best one for stocks? What would give you the best leverage, yet the, you know, big safety for stocks? And I ran Simba's spreadsheet, which has historic values of a number of Vanguard mutual funds, and tried to find which of the stock funds, when added to a permanent portfolio, gave the best Sharpe ratio. And it turns out that if you put about 13% into the Vanguard Small Cap Value Fund, and then the other 12% into the Vanguard Emerging Markets Stock Fund, that combination of stocks gave the highest Sharpe ratio over many different time spans from 1972 all the way through 2009. I mean, what I mean by that is I looked at 72 through 82, or 82 through 92, or 80 through 2000, and 2000 through 2009. You're trying to match, mix and match time spans to see which portfolio had performed the best. And when I look at that, it is absolutely amazing how well this permanent portfolio, with that little bit of adjustment, especially going instead of an index 500 fund into a Vanguard short-term, Vanguard small cap value fund and a Vanguard emerging market fund, how well that's done in the past. And so in my mind, that portfolio is the perfect portfolio. And so you can implement this using 5 ticker symbols, all exchange-traded funds, for the stocks, VBR and VWO, for the bond, TLT, for the gold, GLD, and for the cash, instead of a money market fund, which my Fidelity money market fund has this interest rate. I called them up. They say the interest paid right now on the Fidelity money market fund cash reserves is 0.01%. And I looked at the prospectus and wanted to find out what the expense ratio of the fund was. The expense ratio on that fund, get this, is 0.47%. Well, it turns out they are at the moment waiving or refunding the expenses on the fund now that it's yielding nothing, 0.01%. So your money market is yielding nothing. So a better cash solution, it appears to me, for me, is the SHY, which is the iShares short-term treasury fund, and it actually has a yield up into about 1% or so. Of course, it has principal risk, but it could work out. Could work out as a better store of cash. So there's the 5 ticker symbols: VBR, VWO, TLT, GLD, and SHY. This is not a recommendation for you. This is something that I found that works for me. And so I'm not an investment advisor. Don't take anything and act upon it yourself without doing your own research into it. And you can use Simba's spreadsheet to help you do some of that research. Let's pull something out of the Mad Money Machine tool crib. So I've been wanting another tool, in addition to Simba's spreadsheet, to help me track portfolios, example portfolios, and how well they've performed in the past. And there is another one that's coming up It's in version 2. I think version 3 is almost available now. Found it out at the Bogleheads forum. It's called My Personal Index. It's available for Windows right now. And it's a little bit, just a little bit clunky to use. But if you take the time and effort, you can enter in your suggested portfolios, your suggested ticker symbols that I believe it pulls from Yahoo Finance historical quotes. And it will give you a daily price chart of the combination of ticker symbols that you've put in. And what I actually did, of course, I put in this combination of 5 ticker symbols going back to January 1st of 2006. And it's pretty interesting to see that that version of a permanent portfolio has fairly steady gains. It did have a drop in late 2008 as everything dropped, but not a very big percentage drop. Certainly not 40%, 30%. I think it only dropped maybe 5%, 10 at most from its peak. Overall, from the time span, it's up about 30% in those, 2006, 7, 8, 9, 4 years, 4 plus years, it's up about 30%. Well, those are some ideas. I recommend that you check out the link in the show notes at madmanmachine.com, show 175. Take a look and maybe download for yourself My Personal Index. Also, version 3 should be coming out soon again. Hopefully that'll have some simplifications to it. That's our tool this time. And like other tools I've given you so far, it's free. One other thing I'd like to say about that permanent portfolio is Harry Brown's philosophy people would call in and say, well, wouldn't one of these funds go down? You know, if you have inflation, wouldn't the bonds go down? He said, yes. And just like Jacob Bugger the Rich said, you know, expect one of these always to go down. Harry Brown says that while one of these may go down big time, you know, 25, 30, even 40% in a year, the other one that does well would go up 100, 200, 300%, vastly offsetting the losses that you might have in one. And overall, the entire portfolio does well. He says, since you cannot predict the future, no one can predict the future, you've got to protect yourself. For the money that you cannot afford to lose, you have to protect it, and you have to invest it in each of these 4 categories. And so it's worked in the past. I know these times are different than anything we've experienced in our lives. Will they work into the future? It will be interesting to find out, and I can't wait to find out. One more thing I will mention before I leave you today is that this summer, I and my wife have signed up to teach a summer camp for kids all day long, 5 days a week for about a week. And it's going to be on the subject of Lego Mindstorms. You know, the robots that you control, you build out of Lego pieces and you have this little controller, some motors and sensors and things, and you program it with the computer and you make it go and do various things. There are actually competitions from school to school that have been held, and kids have a task to achieve with their robots, and they try to perform that task better than their competitors. And so we're looking forward to gearing up, no pun intended, for that course. If you know anything about Mindstorms, have any experience with Mindstorms, know of good training aids for Mindstorms, or have been to a Mindstorms event, I would appreciate hearing from you. You can reach me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com. I'd like to know more about Mindstorms. I'm going to have to learn it between now and July. So I look forward to that. If you don't hear from me in the podcast for a while, you'll know why. I'll be playing with the Mindstorms. Maybe I'll come out with a Mindstorms podcast. Who knows? It has been so great to be with you again this month. I'm Paul Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes finding the perfect portfolio to make a mad money machine. I'll see you in March sometime. Stay tuned. Keep your iTunes subscribed right here to Mad Money Machine. Keep checking. I hope you'll listen next time we have a show come out. Other ways you can reach me: you can listen for my tweets at twitter.com/madmoneymachine. You can actually call me if you'd like. Leave a voicemail at 571-366-7121. And of course, if you go to madmoneymachine.com, there's a link to the Facebook fan page. Become a fan of the Mad Money Machine. Thanks so much. Good luck with your investments. And I'll see you next time.